Welcome to Rest in Mystery Podcast. The casket has been closed for centuries, but the case remains unsolved.
When you think of terrifying short stories, twisted poems, and all manner of other literature in the horror genre, one of the first names that comes to mind is Edgar Allan Poe. He's widely regarded as a brilliant author and poet, though he's also known for being something of a tortured artist. He underwent many hardships in his life, which may have contributed to his untimely demise. However, what most people don't know is that Edgar Allan Poe's death is shrouded in mystery. To this day, historians continue to debate over what actually caused him to die an early death. I'm Izzy Huber, and this is Rest in Mystery, a show about famous lives and puzzling deaths. Today, we'll be investigating the mysterious death of Edgar Allan Poe and going over some of the many theories that attempt to explain it. Edgar Allan Poe was born on January 19, 1809, to two actors, Elizabeth Arnold Poe and David Poe Jr. Unfortunately, both of his parents died by the time Poe was three. He then moved in with his godfather, John Allan, in Richmond, Virginia. John Allan was a rich tobacco salesman, but was also known to be very frugal. In 1826, at the age of 17, Poe enrolled at the University of Virginia, where he studied hard. However, his godfather only gave him about a third of the money that was needed for Poe to live at school. Because of this, Poe lived with constant money troubles. Though it was definitely not the best idea, Poe turned to gambling to try to come up with the money he needed. Of course, as you already know, gambling is not exactly the best investment. Poe lost almost all of his money by the time his first term at the University of Virginia was over. In fact, during the cold winter that followed, he even had to burn his furniture at times to stay warm. Poe's severe poverty led to many issues with his godfather back in Richmond. Understandably, Edgar was upset that his guardian had left him to fend for himself at school, despite the fact that he was very wealthy as a result of his tobacco business. At the same time, John Allan was also justified in his anger at Poe having gambled away all the money that he sent him to school with. Either way, the fact remained that Edgar absolutely could not afford to stay at the University of Virginia any longer. He dropped out and moved back to Richmond. Of course, Poe's string of bad luck didn't end there. When he came back to Richmond, he visited the woman he was engaged to, Elmira Shelton, and found that she was now engaged to a new man, which she hadn't bothered to tell her fiancé. Poe was extremely upset by this, as anyone would be. Heartbroken, he couldn't stand to stay in Richmond. He moved to Boston, where he then enlisted in the army. As a result, he at least had a salary that he could live off of while he worked on his true passion, writing. Once again, his godfather ruined his plan by paying for Edgar to be released from the military so that he could go back to school, this time at West Point. Edgar was not thrilled with this decision, to say the least. Out of protest, he stopped attending classes and drills altogether, earning him an expulsion from West Point just 8 months after his arrival. At this point, Poe had been forced out of his hometown, his school, and the military. Effectively homeless, Poe sought out any relatives of his parents that he knew of. As his bad luck would have it, he was robbed as soon as he arrived in Baltimore, where he hoped to find his father's relatives. Even worse, the robber was one of his cousins. So, obviously, his relatives were no longer an option to stay with either. Poe caught his first lucky break in the form of a kind aunt that agreed to take him in, named Maria Clem. Here, he finally got around to taking his writing more seriously, and began writing lots of poetry. Additionally, he wrote several short stories that were published. One of these won him a writing contest, and as a result of this acclamation, he was offered a job at the Southern Literary Messenger, a newspaper in Richmond. It was also around this time that Poe's romantic life was brought back to life when he fell in love. Looking back, though, his new girlfriend, Virginia, was definitely not a good choice. Not only was she his cousin, but she was also half his age. When they married a year later in 1835, Poe was 27 while Virginia was only 13. As a result, the newlyweds were quickly plagued with money problems. The two were barely surviving off of Edgar's slim salary as a writer. Life as a starving artist was not easy, and Edgar frequently received the short end of the stick in terms of what he earned. In fact, arguably one of his most famous stories, Fall of the House of Usher, was published during this time. Though today it's an iconic piece of literature, at the time Poe wrote it, he earned no monetary compensation and was only given 25 copies of his own book in return for his work. Several years later, Poe would write his most famous piece, a poem entitled The Raven. This poem was published in a newspaper called the New York Mirror. The success of The Raven finally gave Poe some relief from his deep money troubles. However, as seems to always be the case throughout the course of Poe's life, as soon as it seemed things were looking up for him, a new tragedy happened that derailed his life once again. In 1847, 12 years after they were married, Poe's wife, Virginia, died at the young age of 24. She succumbed to tuberculosis in the hard winter season. In 1849, Poe was on an alcohol-fueled bender that took him away from the loss of Virginia. Later that year, Poe became sober again and moved back to Richmond. Here, still recovering from the grief he experienced after his wife's death, he came back into contact with his first fiancée, Elmira Shelton. The two fell in love once again and were soon engaged with hopes of being married soon thereafter. Poe left Richmond on September 27th in a train, headed to meet a fellow poet in Philadelphia. This is the last time we can be sure of Poe's whereabouts before the mysterious circumstances around his death. For the next 5 days after September 27th, no one knows exactly where Poe was or what he was doing. What we do know, though, is that on October 3rd, Poe was found by a man named Joseph W. Walker in a horrible condition out on the streets of Baltimore. That day, Walker hastily wrote a letter to someone Poe claimed to know in Baltimore, Dr. J.E. Snodgrass. It read, "Dear Sir, there's a gentleman, rather the worse for wear, at Ryan's Fourth Ward Polls, who goes under the cognomen of Edgar A. Poe, and who appears in great distress. And he says he is acquainted with you. He is in need of immediate assistance. Yours in haste, Joseph W. Walker." Laying in the gutters, Poe did indeed look dreadful. His clothes were tattered and dirty. He could barely move, and he was disoriented. Interestingly, as Walker noted, Poe was found outside of a public polling place, which will come back into play later. Poe was rushed to nearby Washington College Hospital, where he was placed in a special ward for heavily intoxicated patients, which tells us that his doctors believed him to be under the influence of a lot of alcohol. However, even under the care of medical professionals, Poe's condition did not improve, and no one was able to figure out what had happened to him. One of his doctors, Dr. John J. Moran, wrote a letter home to Maria Clem, Poe's aunt and the mother of his late wife. In the letter, he explained that although Poe was conscious, he seemed to be completely out of sorts. He would talk to the walls as well as to imaginary people he claimed to see in his room. He was pale as a sheet of paper and constantly drenched in sweat. At around 5 a.m. on the morning of October 7th, Poe breathed his last breath, but not before uttering his now famous last words, "Lord, help my poor soul." He was 40 years old. 2 days after passing, Poe was buried in an unmarked grave in a Baltimore cemetery with no formal funeral of any kind. As Poe himself was too delirious to explain what had happened to him, there are a multitude of theories in this case as to what exactly Poe went through in the days and hours leading up to his death. They range from common sense and believable to fanciful and bizarre. Today, we'll be covering a few of the most interesting theories. At the time, Poe's doctors officially ruled his cause of death to be phrenitis, which is a swelling of the brain. However, there was never a formal autopsy conducted, which leads some to doubt this diagnosis. Additionally, doctors were known to list phrenitis as a cause of death when the real cause was believed to be alcohol. This was done to avoid the potential embarrassment of people knowing someone had drunk themselves to death. This leads us into the first theory, which is that Poe's death was related to alcohol. Poe was known to be a heavy drinker, which could have caused a variety of illnesses. It's possible that he had a disease caused by frequent alcohol intake, such as dipsomania, alcohol dehydrogenase, or delirium tremens. Compounding the fact that Poe drank often was the fact that he reportedly had an uncommonly low tolerance for alcohol. After just a glass of wine, he would be so intoxicated that he struggled to walk. Interestingly, his sister had the same problem, which could indicate a genetic component. Poe's doctor had also warned him of the fact that he could die from alcohol. In fact, just a few months before his death, Poe had become very sick after a night of drinking in Richmond. After this, his doctor told him that if he went through a similar thing again, he would most likely not survive. In light of this news, Poe had actually joined the temperance movement and gave up drinking altogether. However, it is possible that just before his death, he relapsed and went on a drinking bender that landed him in a grave. In fact, this was the belief of one of Poe's close friends, J.P. Kennedy, who wrote a letter just 3 days after Poe's death that said, "On Tuesday last, Edgar A. Poe died in town here at the hospital from the effects of a debauch. He fell in with some companion here who seduced him to the bottle, which it was said he had renounced some time ago. The consequence was fever, delirium, and madness, and in a few days a termination of his sad career in the hospital. Poor Poe, a bright but unsteady light has been awfully quenched." Even if the alcohol itself was not the cause of death, if Poe had been drinking, he would have been out of control due to his genetic condition. In this state, he would have been a vulnerable target in the streets of Baltimore. He could have been mugged or beaten up by a gang. Or, as our next theory suggests, he could have been a victim of cooping. Cooping was a kind of voter fraud perpetrated by gangs in larger cities. Victims would be kidnapped off the streets, threatened, harassed, and forced to vote as many times as possible in different disguises. Gangs would use this method as a way of impacting politics in a way that favored them. As Poe was found outside of a polling place on election day in a city known to be plagued with cooping schemes, this theory makes sense. Additionally, the use of disguises in cooping schemes could explain his strangely shabby clothing, which was out of character for Poe, who is usually well-dressed. Interestingly, there may be some overlap between the cooping theory and the alcohol theory. At the time of Poe's death, it was common practice for voters to be given a celebratory drink after they had cast their ballot. If Poe was the victim of cooping, being forced to vote and therefore drink over and over could have been his demise. In 1999, a public health researcher by the name of Albert Donnay had a different explanation for Poe's death. Donnay studied hair clippings from Poe's corpse. His research led him to believe that Poe died as a result of carbon monoxide poisoning from coal lighting that was frequently used at the time Poe was alive. However, when the clippings were tested for heavy metals that would confirm his hypothesis, the results were inconclusive, leading many other experts to discredit his idea. The hair sample analysis did lead to some other interesting discoveries, though, including highly elevated mercury levels. In July of 1849, Poe was exposed to the Philadelphia cholera epidemic and was then prescribed mercury chloride by his doctor. Some historians argue that his delusions before his death could be explained by this, but Poe's elevated mercury levels were still 30 times below the threshold for mercury poisoning, so this is unlikely. Another interesting discovery was the fact that Poe's hair sample had very low levels of lead. This indicates that Poe had actually remained sober up until his death, casting doubt on our first two theories. Still, there is much debate over how much value can be placed on hair sample analysis. In 1996, Dr. Michael Benitez, a cardiologist participating in a clinical pathologic conference, was given Poe's case but without knowing who it was, and diagnosed him with rabies. Benitez argued that Poe's lethargic and confused presentation to the hospital, as well as his rapid decline in condition at the hospital, seemed to indicate that Poe had suffered from the rabies virus, which was a fairly common illness in the 1800s. Other symptoms Poe experienced, like delirium, visual hallucinations, irregular pulse, and rapid, shallow breathing, are also commonly associated with rabies. In fact, Poe died 4 days after being admitted to the hospital, which is the medium length of survival after the onset of serious rabies symptoms. However, some of the most common symptoms of rabies, notably hydrophobia or a fear of water, were absent in Poe's case. Also, Poe had not reported an animal bite of any kind, although victims of rabies often don't even remember the bite that infected them. Though there are some problems with this theory, it certainly would be an interesting way to explain Poe's death in the absence of alcohol. For our final theory, let's cover one that sounds like it came right out of one of Poe's own stories: murder. In 2000, author John Evangelist Walsh published a book titled Midnight Dreary: The Mysterious Death of Edgar Allan Poe, in which he argued that Poe was killed in cold blood by the brothers of the woman he was set to marry upon his return from Philadelphia, Elmira Shelton. Based on deep research into letters, newspapers, and memoirs about Poe and his death, Walsh claimed that Poe had actually made it to Philadelphia, where Shelton's brothers accosted him and threatened him to stop him from marrying their sister. In fact, it was known that the brothers were against the union. Walsh believes that Poe then disguised himself in shabby clothing and fled before being found again by the brothers in Baltimore, where they then beat him and forced him to drink as they knew he had a low tolerance for alcohol. To me personally, although interesting, this theory doesn't hold a lot of weight. But, like all the others, it's certainly not impossible. His casket has been closed for centuries, but the case remains unsolved. Although these theories are the most interesting and compelling to me, there are many, many others that I haven't covered today. Some of the more popular ones include the flu, syphilis, epilepsy, cholera, encephalitis, or even a brain tumor. Obviously, there's a lot we don't know about the death of Edgar Allan Poe. What do you think caused it? Was it alcohol, cooping, rabies, or murder? Was it a combination of several of these factors? Was it something else entirely? We may never know how exactly this famous poet and writer met his end. However, what we do know is that, like every other part of his life, his death was tragic and unfortunate, especially considering that he was just about to marry his love, Elmira Shelton, as soon as he came back from that fateful trip to Philadelphia. Though Poe is credited with inventing the modern mystery novel, his own story will continue to rest in mystery.
This podcast was written, researched, edited, and recorded by me, Izzy Huber. Rest in Mystery is a Mallard Media production. We hope you enjoyed, and thank you for listening.
If you are the dealer, I'm out of the game. If you are the healer, means I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, then mine must be the shame. You want it darker? We kill the flame.
Join us next week as we discuss the strange death of one of the most famous artists of all time, Vincent van Gogh.
Hey, nay, 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 nay. I'm ready, my lord.